So now, rolling Bavakama Perek Test Mishnah Yud. This is, like I said, a non sequitur. It doesn't really belong in Bavakama. We're not talking about Gazela or Hezek or anything. Just in the previous Mishnah, in Mishnah Test, we said this weird case where if the son who inherited of his father was actually stole from his father and lied to his father with a shvua, he swore to his father he didn't steal it, but really he lied, and then he admits that he lies, the din is then, yet the thief, in this case the son, has to pay back the object, Karen, plus Chomesh, plus 25%, plus bring a Korban Asham. Fine. The weird case in the previous Mishnah Test was, what happens if the father's now dead and the restitution has to be made to the brothers? Now, the rabbi said he has no right to keep that object, but let's say he just refuses to give it back. So he says, I can't afford it. So then the din was, okay, so since we don't want him to keep it, what we said in the previous Mishnah is he would borrow money from another source, and he would give the brothers back the Ferrari inherited, and then the creditors would then collect from the Ferrari. At least that way it's better than nothing, because they're going to keep the Ferrari he stole, which we don't want him to do. So now this Mishnah Yud falls in the same thinking. It's another case where there's a possibility of a person where he should be giving back something, but if he refuses to or he can't, in this case of Mishnah Yud here, he's just too poor, and the rabbis made an exception for him because he's so poor. So again, same principle will apply. He'll borrow against it, and then the creditors will collect it.
This principle of he's too poor, it applies just to the principle or to the Knas as well?
Well, we're not talking, that would be over there, it would be for both. But here we're actually not talking about Knas, not talking about Knas or Gazela. This Mishnah Yud here, it says the Omer Levno. A guy says to his son, Konam, means like, you know, that's Konam is a code word for Nidre Isser, meaning like, I'm making something usher to you like as if it was a korban, like Hekdesh. It's a kinui. Exactly, konamos, exactly, that's the word from, right? Exactly. It's a neder. Konam is a kind of neder. So he says, Konam, I ata nene mishali. You may not get benefit from me, meaning that which is mine, mishali, that which is my property, is like a korban to you. That's nidre iser. I'm now able to do that all of my possessions now have this like little vector pointing out at you saying, usser, 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 forever. But since it was mishali when it's mine, in mace, when I, the father, die, Yerushenu, the son still inherits me. Why? Because I said when it's mine. Well, when you're dead, it's no longer yours. Therefore, there's a built-in limitation. And when the father dies, so the little vector is pointing out, so the possessions, they're no longer Mishel the father. They're now Mishel the son, and therefore he does inherit. However, if the father's more savvy than that, and he says b'chaya uvumoso, he restricts the benefit of his son to get from the Ferrari, both in his life and even after his death. He lives, you know, he's the time of the netter, he says, my stuff will be always ushered to you even when I'm dead. So then he has the power to do that because it's his stuff now, and therefore the vectors point out usher, 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 even after the father dies. So now what happens is the son now inherits the Ferrari, but he's not allowed to get enough from it. Is there enough from it? So what is that going to do? It sits in his drive, but he can't do anything with it. So in Mace, the Mishnah says, even if the father dies, lo yershenu, instead of actually taking possession of it, yachzer levanav ola achim. Instead, what the son should do, who inherited it, since the father said he can't get benefit from it, he should give it to the next of kin of the father's next of kin. So this Mishnah is a little confusing, because it says the subject of the sentence is talking about the son, it seems, but then when it says levanav, so you think the antecedent is, oh, we're talking about the sons of the, like the grandson's kilo, but it's not. Banav means the father's sons. In other words, he gives it to his brothers. In other words, the father had two Ferraris, or three Ferraris. Or to his uncles, exactly right. So when it says Levanav, it means he shouldn't take possession of the Ferrari, he should give it to his other brothers, Banav, his father's sons. Or Le'achiv, if there's Achav, or Le'echav, if the father has no other sons, he's the only child, so then the next of kin in terms of priorities of inheritance is the father's brother, paternal brother, and therefore the father's brother, his uncle, will get it. So the idea is that since I can't benefit from it, the rabbi said, well, we're not going to let it sit and go rusty, you'll give it to the next of kin. Now, it has to be Dafka, the next of kin, even though really it's his. The laws of Yerusha have kicked in, so really the like it or not, the Ferrari has now been bequeathed by the laws of the Torah to the son. He has rights that he wants it, so to speak, just that he has an isser of ever getting benefit from it. So if you'd give it to anybody else, which is in his power, the problem is if he decides he likes you better than his uncle, he'll give it to you instead, then really, that's called, you would, there's a halachic concept called tovas hana, which is like, at least, you'll ascribe to me that I did you a favor and chose you to give the Ferrari over him or my uncle, and therefore sooner or later, you know, one hand will wash the other and something will come back to me.
Right. Just the same reason you can't re-gift wine.
That's right. Because there's an Isser Hana. Because there's an Isser Hana, Midurabanan when it comes to Slam Yenam. But anyways, yeah, exactly right. Since the Isser Hana, I can't give it to you as a gift because then you'll like want to give me back a benefit. Although I'm not sure the halacha is really true by Slam Yenam. Is it true?
That's what I've been told.
Yeah.
It's also
Bahana.
You can't even re-gift it.
Interesting.
To a guy.
So that makes sense. Okay. Fine. Makes sense. I think there are makilim, if I'm not mistaken, by the way, when it comes to wine. But in any case, leave that alone for a second. So that's the seal. Here he has to give it to like the next in line of the inheritance. So then the uncle will look at him and say, like, you didn't do any favors. It had to come to me, because who else is going to go to? So this is the Torah's prescribed as saying the next of kin, and not then there's not considered to have told us or not, because he will say, what's the big deal? You had to give it to me. You couldn't use it yourself. I'm the obvious location. So therefore, that's the din. The din is the rabbi said he has to give it to his other brothers or to the uncle if there's no other brothers. Now, v'im ein lo. Now, what happens if the son, the inheritor, actually has nothing? The heir has no money. He's an ani. He's destitute. So now the rabbis in this case, since he is anyways destitute, I'm going to have to go into recourse to public funds, whatever the story is. So then we made allow for this like legal loophole. We said rather than him maintaining destitute and becoming a burden on the rest of the community or suffering, instead what he could do, and oh, this exemption only applies to the ani, to the poor person. Love, he, the son and the heir, should borrow money, go to the bank, borrow money, or to whoever the lender, and collateralize the loan with the Ferrari he inherited. Then he gives the Ferrari to his uncle, and lets his creditors, the bank, then repossess the Ferrari, if there's any leftovers after they fire sale it will go to the uncle's. But the idea is that he can just phone up his uncle and say, you know, your Ferrari is on my drive, come pick it up. But the point is, he's barred against it and now it's got a lien against it, so that he barred against the Ferrari, he has money in pocket, he's no longer poor, but he can't keep, the rabbis don't want him keeping that Ferrari because they told him to give it to the uncle or the brothers, so he gives it to them, but then the creditors will take it themselves, repossess it. If there's something left over, you know, that's all.
So in a sense, he's still getting hana. I mean, he's getting hana from it because he used it as collateral. That's number one. And number two, are you permitted to give collateral away? I mean, there's a lien on it from the bank.
So two separate questions. So the answer to the first question is, he certainly, in principle, is getting a great benefit. He's getting money. Mm-hmm. Now, back in the Dharm, the fourth parak in the Dharm, we learned, whoever we are, but the Shia learned, that there's a... It's not. There's not. If I make something usser for you, like say I take a neder that everything I will never give you benefit. There's a neder like that. I'm still allowed to pay off your debts, paying you, like protecting you from. It's like it's mavriach hasari. I'm chasing the lion away from you. Protecting you from harm is not considered to be a benefit. Interesting, right? So that's the idea here. So any loan payment, repayment is considered to be. That's not considered to be a violation of Nadar. Interesting, right? So even though this is, it's certainly I call it non the spirit of the law. Certainly, and that's why it's only a heter applied to the poor, the ani's son. But if he's an ani, so we're allowing him to do that.
Line with a 0 point. So you can't give somebody something on the positive side of the line.
You can protect him from negative.
That's right. So you can make him whole, but you can't go to the.
That's
other
right.
Side.
That's right. I can. It's looked at as I can.
And that's not considered hana.
That's not considered the hana to Esther Asher.
Just making him whole.
I'm protecting you from them, your goons going and breaking your kneecaps.
But they're not having positive gain.
Right.
Now,
in terms of giving someone away that has a lien on it, that's for sure mutter. In this case, it's almost prescribed. It becomes like a bit of like a dance. Oh, the truth is, this is how it would work in real life. You have a mortgage on your house. You decide to sell it to me. What happens is, I purchase it from you, or you gift it to whatever it is. Then, let's say you sell it to me. So I pay you $1 million for a house. You have a $400,000 mortgage on it. Then what happens is, at closing, the bank takes their $400,000 and the rest is left for you.
The terms of the loan, the terms of the mortgage don't allow you to sell the house. Unless you have the bank's approval.
Okay, well, the terms of this loan is going to be exactly that. Everyone knows what's going on here.
If you have a mortgage, really, you can't sell your house without the bank. No,
well, the bank comes.
The bank has a lien on it.
True, but the bank has a
at closing.
No, you can't transfer the loan to another buyer without the bank's permission.
Right. Nor can you sell something that has a lien on it because it's not yours to sell anymore.
You sure? I think you do sell it. You do sell it.
Permission of the
At closing, the bank gets their like piece. Because they're the first lien.
They get their piece that you're not on the water.
That's another story.
So
you need approval.
That's only in the circumstance where the purchase price is not going to cover the mortgage.
Right.
Normally, the purchase price should cover the mortgage and more. It's not a problem.
So here the same story, obviously, that he's... The simple case would be a straight exchange. In other words, the Farrar's worth 50 grand, I'm borrowing 50 grand, you collect the Farrar, have a nice day. But so that we comply with the rabbi's intention that it should go to the uncles or the brothers, and also it could, by the way, let's say, for example, the pawn shop says, listen, it's a nice Ferrari, but we don't know, maybe we're never going to get our hands on it, we'll lend you 10 grand against it. So this is fine, it takes the 10 grand that's mostly can squeeze out of the pawn shop, he gives it to the uncles go and, you know, sell it on eBay, and there's $25,000 proceeds, so fine, so they keep their 10, and the last 15 goes to the uncles or the brothers. He doesn't get it. So that's how the setup would work. Yep. Fine, very good. So the sentence just finishes. Im ein lo, if the heir who has the nether against him has no money, so then lova, he should borrow from somebody, collateralize the loan with the object he inherited, is aser bahana, vale chov, and the creditors to extend him the loan, vayin, they will come venifram, and they will come collect from the thing that he inherited that was collateralizing the loan.